I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Oh, Councilmember Oglesby has been excused.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Mulvihill?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you. So I would entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Can we have a motion for the consent agenda?
We accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's now time for public comments. Persons wishing to address the council, please unmute yourself and state your name and city of address and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Do we have anybody that would like to make public comments?
Yes, Carrie Davis. Just a moment, get my camera clear here. That should do it. Oh boy, it never fails. It won't ever behave. Can you hear me at least?
Yes. We can hear you.
Yes.
How about your city of residence?
Black Diamond. Now, if I can just get this darn thing to, it doesn't look like it's gonna let me show the camera here. Just a minute. I'm gonna give up so I can get on with it. Okay, well anyway, hello Mayor and City Council, Gary Davis, Black Diamond. My comments are gonna be in regards to the comprehensive plan. Okay, regarding the 2020 comprehensive plan update, please hold a new public hearing on the full list of amendments submitted by the public in 2020 before you adopt a 2020 comprehensive plan update. This will prevent further delay and resolve the legal issue that public submissions for the 2020 plan update were ignored in violation of Black Diamond City Code 16.10.140. Also, please adopt the public suggested 2020 amendments to the comprehensive plan. This includes replacing the future land use map with the map that governed until 2018. The 2019 map was not analyzed properly and will lead to overdevelopment of Black Diamond. The increased traffic and taxes and the lack of provision for parks, walking, biking, and open space are problems that must be corrected. 10 trails already exceeds our county growth target by more than 300%. Our city must allow the impact on roads, services, taxes, and schools to be fully identified and addressed before authorizing even more growth on its future land use map. Wishful thinking and inadequate planning will result in a degraded quality of life for all residents. All new growth must be phased in only as fast as our infrastructure and environment can handle it. Thank you for the chance to make this presentation. That's it.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no public hearings and no unfinished business. So we have one item under new business. Ordinance amending Black Diamond Municipal Code regarding sensitive areas. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, Mayor and members of the council. The city's current sensitive areas ordinance was adopted in 2009 and is codified under the Black Diamond Municipal Code, Chapter 1910. The non-project action to update the city's sensitive area ordinance is required under the GMA, and the GMA mandated the city to update its comprehensive plan in 2015 and the sensitive areas ordinance in 2016 using checklists prepared by the Washington State Department of Commerce. The city completed its required periodic comprehensive plan update in May of 2019, and then began working on updating the sensitive area ordinance in 2020. So the mandate to do so is an opportunity to ensure the environmental projections in place are consistent with new state and federal regulations, as well as the newly adopted comprehensive plan policies. Like, for example, the city's current sensitive areas ordinance adopted an old version of the state's wetland identification and delineation manual and wetland rating system, and these needed to be consistent with the Washington State Department of Ecology manuals. Additionally, there were several areas in the adopted sensitive area ordinance that were improved by adding additional language to remove ambiguity and to provide cross-references with other code provisions, such as there's a chapter regulating development in the floodplains, for example. So these amendments also serve to update several definitions in the city code and correct inaccurate cross-references and typographical errors as well. So the outcome of the city's comprehensive plan update resulted in some strengthening of our environmental policies for sure. And the Planning Commission discussed proposed changes during their public meetings and held a public hearing to take public testimony on the proposed draft code revisions in October. I believe it was on October 6th of 2020 was the public hearing. I did go in and review the minutes of that meeting and confirm that public comments were made and they were also addressed as part of that exercise. So city staff forwarded a copy of the Planning Commission's recommended draft of the sensitive area ordinance to the Department of Commerce for their required 60-day review on December 28th, 2020. And Commerce's review period ended on February 26th, 2021. So a determination of non-significance was issued by staff on January 13th, 2021, and we didn't receive any public comments and there were no appeals. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Councilmember Deedy?
No questions, but this did go also through, we talked about it in community development with Mona and she went over it quite well here. So it's something that the council needs to get on the ordinance and pass it tonight. So fully supportive of getting this going.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
If, you know, a layman was to ask you, what's the biggest change of any significance in here besides just complying with updated guidelines from the state and federal government, what would you say the biggest change is?
The biggest change that I saw was to add more definitions to our development regulations that were consistent with the state definitions. Mostly in here, what I saw was that we corrected a lot of typos and just cross-references that were needed in the ordinance. They were actually pretty minor. I, you know, obviously I wasn't here when we took this through, but I did review it pretty thoroughly and I didn't see anything that really jumped out at me as being too major, but definitely needed.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. I think that was actually one of my additional questions as well. So I think I'm just ready to move forward with it as well.
Yeah. With that, I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 21-1158, amending Black Diamond Municipal Code, Chapter 19.10.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is department reports. Chief Smith.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Reporting from my phone tonight. Down here in Green Valley, so not much bandwidth, so I'm going to leave my video off. Did everyone get my report? I'm guessing everybody did. I sent out today. So nothing real significant in the incidents in town. I always say that, but for the people that have those 911 calls, it's very significant. There was a multiple vehicle injury accident at Baker and the highway, and we airlifted someone out of the elementary school grounds again that night. That's been a couple times, I think, in the last few weeks we've airlifted people out of there. We're really working hard now getting ready for Wildland. The fall was, and spring here was easy on us because it continued to stay cool and we had quite a bit of wet weather. So a lot of times, actually early in the spring, we can have fire danger because all of the dead material starts to dry out real fast. Once things start greening up again like they are now, then we're safe pretty much until around the end of June is when it starts getting really bad. We shut down all outdoor burning in the district the first part of July, and you cannot burn anything as far as yard waste in the city of Black Diamond itself, but you can have recreational fires. And if you're interested in that, you can go to our website and get that information. We've been looking at the new fire engine as it's being put together, and I sent out a report to the council on that. And I suspect I should hear something first part of next week about maybe a delivery date. I haven't heard anything yet. So took a box of face masks to the Historical Society Museum today. So it was nice to see that back open. Took a big box of 500 masks that we had. So hopefully it'll help them with their new opening. Other than that, that's about all I have, unless someone has a question.
Council Member De Leon.
Thank you. Really quick question for you, Chief. Yes. Especially with the increase in really warm weather and all of that, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are out like on the lakes and in the water and what have we here. So I was wondering, what is your department doing currently to also just make sure that we're advising, you know, that the water's still cold out there and or just some of those safety precautions?
Yeah, most of that we send out on our social media, Facebook, those type of things. And it's interesting you say that because I actually saw people floating down the Green River today. And so when we get this warm weather and we still have this cold water coming off of from the mountains, that's a particularly scary time for us because not only is the water very, very cold, it's running faster and it's very deep this time of the year. So I think all of us in King County are putting out items on our social media just to make people be aware, you know, when they're on the water to watch their kids and to wear their PDFs when they're near water. So.
Council Member D.
Chief Smith, I think, you know, with Council Member De Leon's question, I think, you know, with the surge of new residents in the South area now and discovering that, you know, they're moving next to a river and floating sounds like a good idea. I think it is wise that we get some information out to the residents who may not be water smart and understand that, you know, this is not the time to get out there and start floating the river. Because it is swift and it is very cold, you know, most residents around here know that, you know, maybe September is a good time to go play in the water when it's slowed down and it's low. And then, you know, you may, if you're a adrenaline person, you may want to go drift down the river on a tube. But generally, you know, as somebody who's grown up around here, And a father who has fished all the rivers knows that, you know, September is about the time when you want to go out and play in that water. So it is a good idea to start getting that information out with so many new residents in the South Sound.
Yeah, and if you recall over the last few years, most of our fatalities that have occurred in the water in the Green River have actually been up at the gorge where people aren't intending to get into the water. They're climbing on those large rocks up there that are slippery. They end up in the water. And if you don't self-rescue yourself within a matter of minutes, it's too late. So that's I think we're going to try to work with King County Sheriff to make some signs up there. But that's private property, and it's just hard for us to regulate what people do on the river. We can inform them. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that are up there are from out of our area. So even people that live here might know it or don't know it, but we find a lot of people from all, you know, Federal Way, Seattle, everywhere out here in the summertime on our river. So.
Councilmember Page.
Thank you, Mayor. Quick question, Chief, actually two questions now. One is to that point about that place on the Green River where you're talking about, the gorge there. Has the community ever done anything where volunteers are sort of stationed along the trailhead areas, either having conversation, passing out literature? I know we're in a pandemic, so it's a bit different now, but I'm just wondering, that's the first question, if anything like that has ever been done in partnership with King County. And then my second question is to the fire department, how are you guys working with residents in the community around FireWise programs? I mean, we saw so much last summer, how devastating it was for our neighbors to the south. And I'm wondering if, either through social media, that there's pushouts happening or conversations happening on how people can protect, create fire barriers around their properties, if there's any of that that is planned or is being done.
Yes, that's something else that we so here's the interesting thing. So we use social media. We use Facebook and tweet and all those things. And so we post public safety information and it gets like 3 likes, and then we post some pictures of firemen doing just about anything and it gets 50 likes. So our problem is, you know, people read the social media, but they don't really read the stuff that we are trying to get them to read, if you get my understanding there. But we post a lot of times on our Facebook page or on our website, and a lot of those are links that will take you to like FireWise and things like that, to where people can go out and make sure that their own properties are protected. FireWise is a whole program. That's a program put on by Department of Natural Resources. So, and we actually did a FireWise section up above the gorge a few years ago. And there have been times when we've had had some extra funding from the federal government, and we would actually have some of our wildland volunteers out in our brush trucks, and they would actually go to people's homes and show them, you know, how to protect their homes from wildfires. So all those are important things. We post those about 3-4 times a month in the summertime and spring, so people know how to do that. And they can go to our website. We have a whole page there that talks about those type of things. And we'll send you links to where you can go find that information. But we probably should, you know, we probably can put something out when the city gets its new web space up, that its new page up, that would be easier for us to do. And we probably can put something in the newsletter that the city sends out with utilities.
Okay, well, thank you, Chief Smith. Ms. Miller, did you have a report?
Yes, Mayor and Council, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, thank you. I'm Nate Miller, Finance Director, and I haven't talked to you for a while, So I just wanted to do a brief update about a couple of projects I'm working on. You know, for the last few months, we've been talking about the additional cost of fire and going through all the various meetings, also talked about cost of hiring someone to help us with a lid lift and various other revenue sources, and even talked about a facility plan. So I thought, wow, I need to really figure out how to do more long-range planning. So I contacted Ashley Emery. He's the consultant who did the model to look at water, sewer, and stormwater, and showed revenues and all of the various expenditures, and then could put in an Excel model and PowerPoint various rate increases and show how that would affect the bottom line. And to bring those forward to council, they forecast out 6 years, and they were really excellent models. So I gave them a call and I said, hey, would you be interested in building one of those for our general fund? That's where we're looking at some of these additional new expenditures and potential new revenues. And he said, well, I can use the same type model formats that I already have and just put in new actuals for a couple of years and then forecast out into the future. And the good thing about those models is he can do different scenarios, like a really optimistic kind of a real pessimistic, and then an in-between. And then as we're meeting with him and he's presenting him, we can say, well, what if you doubled that? Or what if that changed? And he can change it right in front of us and see how that affects bottom line. So what I'm planning to do is bring forward a contract on May 6th to have him build a model and PowerPoint that would do the general fund and also do analysis on the REIT fund. In that model, he can also split revenues into sustainable and not so sustainable. So I think it has some significant capabilities. And so I'm excited to bring that forward so we can really be able to plug in requests for additional expenditures or changes in revenue and really see how that affects some of the studies FSC did showed how many dollars it might be, but they were based on prior old information and didn't really forecast out for several years. We plan to have this at least go with a six-year forecast. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think that'll really help us be able to evaluate fiscal things and show what effect they might have and really do what if type scenarios. So I'm really excited about going forward with that. I think that'll really help us. And it's going to take him probably a couple, 3 months to build that and get it really fine-tuned so it's working quite well. That'll kind of give us some time. Right now, we're going to start a city audit, so the auditors will be there. And we're also doing our accounting changes that the state made last year, and our annual report that's due by May 31st. So pretty significant workload for us right now. That'll give us a breather while he's billing that. And then we should have that ready. Hopefully we'll know in a few months then what the fire contract amount might be. And we'll have other things that we'll know by then. We can really easily plug new items into that. So I'm really excited about that. And kind of the second item I wanted to talk about is after the last work study, when we talked about future planning for capital facilities, I thought, wow, I need to really work on how I can get additional help in that area, because it's more complex when you're talking about a one-time only expenditure of a capital nature that's a significant amount. What I did was go back and look at what MRSC has available and how debt works if you're going to build a new city hall. Who might have done that recently? How did that work? And it reminded me then of my past where I did work on debt and stuff. And kind of how when you're a citizen and you are going to build a new house, you don't save up the money and then build it. Almost everybody gets a mortgage. And with the mortgage, there's kind of ratings that, the mortgage companies do. They look at your ratio of what you already owe, what your income is. You have to prove your income. And it really kind of qualifies that loan and said, well, you can probably afford about in this price range. And they do that to, you know, protect citizens that are buying a home and make sure they really can make those debt payments. Cities are a little different. When they, if they were going to build a brand new city hall, normally you would go out for a vote of the citizens and say, hey, we're going to, you know, we'd like to build a new city hall. Police is really out of space. You know, we're looking at the future. And the citizens would vote. But that's going to be kind of unlikely if we're talking about going out to a vote for fire. And raising your taxes for that, it would be pretty unlikely that we could do it right away, because you know there's only so much you can go out and ask the citizens to pass and raise their taxes, because that's what would come with it. So there are other ways to do government debt, and those are municipal bonds. So cities, when they go to build a new city hall, you would issue municipal bonds. And the bond agencies, they have their own rating also. So you, again, would have to prove that you have sufficient income to be able to support the payments and that it's sustainable. And usually you would go to a bond council and get a rating like Moody's. I've had to do that before in other cities. And so they have kind of ratings to try to help you know about how much you could afford and what your debts are. And also our state has RCWs in place. They have debt limitations. And if you are going to issue a general government debt, you are allowed to do 1.5% of your assessed valuation. And that debt, just looking at the Makers study and then looking at what our assessed valuation is right now, that would allow us to issue debt for $16 million. But I looked at MRSC, and most cities don't issue clear to the max, because that's using every bit of your capacity. And usually you don't want to go that far. So most cities adopt about a 1%, and they have it in their policy. We haven't ever issued debt in Black Diamond, so we don't even yet have a policy that says what we should issue. And you know, down the road, that probably is something we need to do. But at a 1%, you could issue $11 million worth of debt. I looked briefly at the Makers study, and it was like $45 million, you know, and that doesn't mean that's really what we're going to do down the road, but there is measurements city has to go through, and why those are in there again is to make sure that you can really afford that and you can really afford the payments. And then the third option, if you were going to build a new city hall, is to go out and have an landowner or a builder build that for you. And we did that when I was in Kent. We needed more space, and we contracted with a builder that was going to build the building right next door to us. But in that scenario, usually for the builder to borrow that money, because usually they don't have $45 million sitting around either. They have to borrow money, and they have to pay interest just like we would. So what we had to do in Kent was guarantee that we would pay them for 20 years X amount that would cover those debt payments. And it had to be listed as a liability of our city. And so that really it would give them some credit when they go to borrow the money from the bank to say, yes, we have a promise person out there that's going to do that. But I think that no matter what, no matter how we got the money to do it, the taxpayers eventually are going to make those payments, because the payments need to be guaranteed by the general fund. And that's why all the protections are in place and everything. I talked to David just briefly about this, and he knows some bond counsel, and I know some bond underwriters. And down the road, as we go forward with the important planning of future facilities, we'll be looking at least at a 10-foot level of, you know, where is that in relationship to what we could issue bonds for, or what, you know, how much money somebody might have to borrow and we would have to commit to, so we know what kind of debt payment areas we might be in. It's not anything that we need right now, but I just wanted to kind of refresh my memory of what you need to go through if you're in that ballpark and you're looking, because capital is totally different than operating and how you get the money, just like when you buy a house, you know, it's just kind of a different ball game, and they have different measurements, but the state does have measurements in place, as well as the whoever would loan you the money. So anyway, I just wanted to bring those two items up to you today and just say, you know, I just feel, and the mayor does, and I know you do, we just want to be the best stewards of the taxpayers' dollars out there. And I just want to do what I can to help with that. And so I wanted to bring those two points forward to you tonight. And I'm here if you have any questions.
Yes, Jenny.
So May, I can't remember the company that did that analysis with the rates. What?
Makers.
Makers, yeah.
Yeah, so, Makers, the Makers study, uh-huh.
So I'm just going to tell you that I'm totally for you bringing a contract before council to have Makers do an analysis on...
You're talking the other one. Ashley Emery, you're talking about...
Ashley Peninsula, yeah. Counseling is the name, yeah, of the agency, and it's Ashley Emery.
Perfect, yeah. So I'm perfectly fine with you bringing that forward, because I think, you know, going forward, we need to get all the information out to the citizens, yes, especially when we go out for a lid lift.
Yes.
And having that analyzed, you know, on what it's going to affect, how it's going to affect our general fund,
yep,
if we didn't go out, it is important for the citizens to understand that.
Yes.
So I think it's fully justifiable to hire them and have that done. And just like you said, you know, council can say, hey, you know, put in this amount, and it'll change everything. And, you know, and it was such a good presentation that he did the last time, that it was beneficial. So I think this will be just as beneficial to have done.
Yes. I did want to mention, while we're going out, we're also going to have the update of the water, sewer, and storm funds for this year, because we haven't done that for a couple of years. So we're going to put that in there. And Seth's helping me get the contract together with those also in there. So. Perfect.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Yeah, I'd just like to, so first of all, May, I thought that what you were saying about having this consultant that's going to take a look at, you know, what some of the forecasting is, mm-hmm, and try to get a better handle on that, I think that's really, really important. And we might want to take it to another level based on what information they provide, so that we really feel like the council has a good, solid understanding of what our revenue projections are based on the best information we can put together.
Yep.
So maybe in the next 5 and 10 years, in the best case of scenario, with developers going crazy and generating all this revenue for the city, whether it's sales tax or it's eventually it's property taxes that are going up incrementally.
Yep.
To have an understanding, you know, in a booming market and their best plans or their worst plans and somewhere, yep, in between. And that will then allow us to make informed decisions on a lot of the important investments that we need to make. It's not about wanting to make, but we need to make. And I think the other part is we shouldn't just assume that a levy lift is going to happen until we know what the actual revenue is and what the cost of the different additional services that we have, that we need are. Is it an $11 million or is it a $40 million city hall?
Absolutely.
We need to understand what are the expenses that are going to go out, and what is a true good understanding of what the revenue that's coming in, so we can make those informed decisions. But I want to make sure that because I've seen Facebook lately and what it says, you know, what we all see is a lot of miscommunication out there that there is going to be, we're doing a levy lift and we're going to hire consultant to sell it to everybody and we're going to move forward with that. There may be people on council that believe that, but I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not either.
Until we understand what our revenue is and what our expenses are so that we can make that informed decision.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there might not be a situation where we do need to do that, but I don't think we're at that point right now. So anyway, May, I thank you for all of your extra effort that you've been putting in to get our arms around all of this. And I really appreciate your leadership on that. Thank you.
Thank you, May. So the next item on the agenda is the mayor's report. I attended a couple of mayor's meetings, South End mayor's meeting, Strong mayor's meeting last week, and talking about what other cities were gonna do for events in their cities. And most of them are gonna cancel any city sponsored things that have to do with the 4th of July and Labor Days, and they're not going to have any parades. Maple Valley usually has a parade, but they don't want people coming to Maple Valley because everybody else is closed down. So most cities are not going to do anything. Well, then on Tuesday evening, I had a meeting with the Black Diamond Labor Days, and they're still talking about going ahead with everything. So, and then if it comes to the point where they think that they can't control the crowds or people will come here because nobody else is having anything, they're leaving it the option open to not hold those events. Then I talked to Laura Philpott from Maple Valley. She's the city manager. And she said that they usually have Maple Valley Days on the second weekend in June, and they're not doing that this year. So they're just going to have food trucks all around the city so people aren't congregating in one place, just have food trucks available. They're canceling their fireworks and their Labor Day celebrations altogether.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm just a little reserved about us going ahead with the Labor Days with everything. And Debbie Page has volunteered, and Tammy's volunteered, and Lee works on the program. So we have as many council members that can be on that committee as possible. So we're full with three council members. So I wanted to point that out. We don't need any more volunteers from the council on that committee. Then I had a meeting this afternoon about ARPA, which is the American Recovery Act or whatever that's coming from the federal government. And nobody knows the specific rules yet. The one thing that might affect us, well, first of all, we're supposed to get $1.02 million. And that's just a huge amount. And the first half is supposed to happen mid-May. Second half is not supposed to happen until the end of next year. And there's going to be restrictions on how that money's spent. And then there's also going to be some conflicts with King County giving us money and the state giving us money. And we don't want to duplicate efforts. If they're going to help renters, we don't want to help renters. If they're going to help businesses, we don't want to help businesses. But there was a lot of talk today about using the money for leasehold improvements because of COVID. And so we can look at that and see when we're doing our improvements to the building that we're renting, that if some of those leasehold improvements could be covered, even though the money is in the budget right now, we could use that money for something else if the leasehold improvements can be done through this fund. But the specific rules are not out yet. There's several people that have been working with people at the federal government, but the specific list and rules are not available yet. So as I find out more, I can let you know more, but that's all I know about that right now. So now it's time for council reports. So Council Member Wisnowski.
Let's see, I wasn't able to attend last week's finance committee meeting due to a work conflict, but I did attend the work study. We had some good conversations on multiple topics at the work study. Hopefully those will continue. As the weather gets better, people need to be careful as they're going through the city, driving through the city, right? Kids will be out, pets will be out, that kind of stuff. So just be careful, follow our speed limits and be aware, especially with school going back to full-time in-person next month. There'll be more kids crossing and stuff like that. So be careful there. As I always say, support your small businesses. We've got small businesses out there that are right now looking to hire because they're expanding, which is great. We've got other businesses that are about to expand and offer additional services, and they're hiring as well. And those are all good things for Black Diamond, right? I mean, that's all additional sales tax, additional additional services and things to attract new neighbors, that kind of stuff. And, you know, good small businesses attract other good small businesses, and good small businesses attract good commercial businesses, larger businesses, right? It's a building thing. So as we support our small businesses, right, they will in the long term help make some of our budget issues less painful, hopefully, but they'll also make Black Diamond just a better place to live as we don't have to go so far for our purchases and stuff. So support your local small business. I'm going to keep it short tonight because it's nice out. So that's about it.
Councilmember Mulvihill.
Good evening. Busy week, busy last week. Met with Andy with MDRT, and he explained what was going on there and what we could look forward to in the future. Also, I had an opportunity to meet with the attorney and both Debbie and I, and he filled us in on what has been, what will be, and what we can look forward to. Also, I got my public meeting training done. I got a little certificate now. But I just wanted to talk about the crosswalk. I was on the council that got that light in, and that light isn't what was approved by the state. The state determines what kind of light you're going to get and where it's going to go. And it has to be at a major intersection, which is why the major intersection at Baker closer to Lawson was picked, because it was supposed to be for school only. And the original light that was supposed to go in there was to be controlled by the office. So it wouldn't be in use on weekends. It would only be in use during, you know, kids coming to school and kids going home. And then only the school itself had control over when that light is flashing. Well, when the crew came out, they just happened to put up the wrong kind of light, which of course we were very happy about, because we wanted a controlled crosswalk. We wanted to be able to have a button with a flashing light. And since they had already installed it, they just left it there. So that's the story on how we got the crosswalk we have now, and why it's located. It all had to do with the state of Washington, because it is a highway, state highway, and where they would allow us to put it. So we couldn't put it closer to the school ground. We couldn't put it over by the kids' play area. It had to go exactly where it ended up. That's all I have.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you very much. So I was able to attend the work study as well as my committee meetings, budget and finance and planning and community development, both of which had some really great conversations around, of course, some of the things we got to hear tonight. And then also in addition, just about some of the future opportunities we might have for our parks and how to really make sure that our historic downtown core is going to continue to be a hub for a lot of commercial activities. So really awesome discussions there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of it as we kind of get more into sort of the details of those kinds of at least discussions. So I appreciated that as well. I want to keep in mind too, that especially with a lot more schools moving to more in-person learning, to just especially know it's a challenging thing for so many people, especially those who are both returning to school after a long time of not being in the school, like, you know, students, but also the staff as well. This has been an incredibly tough over a year of a lot of pivots. And just keeping in mind, you know, that so much, you know, a lot of grace will probably be needed in that process as well for the employees who work there, as well as for the students as well and their caretakers. That's part of it also. Otherwise, just encouraging everyone to continue to make sure that if they haven't already, to sign up for their vaccinations, because of course we do want to make sure that the more of us who have it, the safer our communities are, and the more that there eventually might be able to be those kinds of activities in the city as well. So that's going to be a lot of my report tonight. And oh, actually a few more things as well. I was thinking about the parks as well. There will be an opportunity for volunteering and just kind of partaking in the Earth Day celebrations as well, with the Lake Sawyer Parks area, some trails cleanup, cleaning benches, whatever might be in store that day. It'll be, I believe, 9 to 11 a.m. Rain or shine, wear a mask, you know, keep distance as much as you can, but that's also where it's important still to wear a mask, especially if distance gets a little trickier. And it should be a really good time just to make sure that, you know, we do have those really great, awesome green spaces around our city. So it's a nice opportunity to pitch in and help out there as well. And I otherwise look forward to being part of the town hall coming up next week with our whole city council as well. And also, I do hope that at the very end of this month, to be hosting just another Zoom session chat with residents. And I hope it gets to be as well attended as possible, since last month there was so much good discussion and questions, and just people are curious to hear what's going on. So I want to make sure that both of those opportunities are there, both for the one on the 22nd, but then also just I love to talk to residents. It's why I love doing this. So that's it. I think with that, I end my council report.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Thank you. I'd like to understand when the retreat is going to happen. I haven't heard if we've got that scheduled. Maybe I just don't.
It's scheduled for June 18th.
June 18th. Okay.
I announced that at the last meeting.
Okay. Thank you. I'll make sure it's on my calendar. I do have a list of 10 things I'm interested in meeting with the facilitator. And so I'm not going to go through all that stuff, but just want you to know that there's stuff I want to talk about. So, but we won't talk about it tonight. I did attend my committee meetings. And so that was great. I do want to thank Gary Davis tonight and the others in the public that take the time to do public comment. It is much appreciated. That's what we're all here for. We should be listening to what our residents have to say. So I appreciate that. Also the emails I know that a lot of us received over the past week too. So we have open ears, and if we're not responding on certain things, it's, you know, there's reasons why, but we are hearing you. So thank you very much for that. And so I encourage more public comment on any topic. That's what we're all here for. And I think the more we can do that, that's great. With that, I guess the last thing is the fire engine photos. I'd like to thank Chief Smith for forwarding those on. Those are always really cool to see. And I just, for clarity, I'm assuming his profile picture is not a photo of the current fire engine. That must have been one of the early ones. So anyway, thank you very much, you guys, for your time tonight. And thank you.
Councilmember Page.
Thank you, Mayor. It's been a busy couple weeks getting up to speed. I have had one-on-one conversations with 5 of my fellow 6 council member colleagues, and the 6th one is scheduled on Monday. I attended the work study. I met with City Attorney David Linehan, as well as Andy Williamson, with Councilmember Mulvihill, so the dynamic duo sitting in and peppering them with questions. I'm scheduled to meet with Mona tomorrow And then Council Member Mulvihill and I will meet with Chief Smith on Wednesday of next week, just getting ourselves fully up to speed. My intention is really to come to understand the departments and staff right away, helping me get a grasp there on the urgent and important facing the city. So if you are listening from the city and you haven't received an email with a conversation to connect in the subject line, keep your eyes open for that. And I look forward to getting to know you. I met some new neighbors in the last couple of weeks. I also received emails from many residents, and I'm grateful to you for taking the time to get involved in the process. And while we are new to one another, I am available to you. So please feel free to send that email. If you would like to have a conversation to connect, you can put that in your subject line and we can get it on the calendar too. I had a chance to take a tour of Black Diamond City Hall, which was really fun. I felt almost normal again, being like in community with people. We were all wearing our masks and we social distanced, but it was really cool to be able to see that and to meet people behind the scenes. So I'll preview the website. The timeline is really, really close. And I know that this community is going to be super proud. And I want to say I'm grateful to the city staff for all their hard work behind the scenes. I sat in tonight on my first committee meeting for the Planning and Community Development. I also met with the Digital Engagement Manager for King County so that I could personally start to get a better understanding of communication best practices for communities our size, including social media, email communication, newsletters, and things like that. So more to follow later there. As Mayor Benson indicated, I raised my hand to volunteer with the Labor Day celebration. So I'm moving forward, adding value where I can there. And after conversation today with our friends at the library, I would like to remind you that the Friends of Black Diamond Library plant sale is on Saturday, May 1st from 9 to noon at the Black Diamond Community Center. So come out and support the library and spruce up your garden with some native plants. So thank you very much for the time.
And they sell out quickly.
Council Member Deedy.
Yeah, usually before 11 o'clock, it's all gone. All the good stuff anyways. Okay, so a little bit about what Mayor Benson was saying about cities canceling, you know, events. I know Enumclaw has been full ongoing, you know, they close down streets, they have their whole events. They've been doing that, I think, for a year now. Maple Valley, you know, they are canceling those events, but they are not canceling their farmers market, which happens every Saturday. So for this year, they're saying we are making plans and getting ready to host 75 vendors on May 1st, our biggest market at the Legacy site. That's a lot of vendors, and that's not a big space. So, you know, I find it kind of contradicts when I read this and I hear that they're canceling other things. So I'd also like to just say Black Diamond has stayed out of everything. We have not hosted a single event of any kind other than the garage sale that I hosted last year. But other than as a city event, we have not done anything. And I think that the Labor Day committee is, you know, kind of, you know, hoping we'll be in phase four by September, you know, that we'll have quite a few people that are vaccinated, less restrictions, you know, going forward. I think, of course, we'll still have to wear our masks. But I think that it's a good idea to start, you know, planning and looking forward to something that you would say is normal for Black Diamond, something to look forward to that we used to do all the time. So they do have that caveat of saying, you know, if we go backwards and things are just going crazy, then of course it'll be canceled. But at this time, it's like, you know, let's look forward to something normal in Black Diamond, and Labor Day is definitely it. Okay, so I attended the Public Issues Committee PIC via Zoom, and one of the things Deanna Dawson asked cities is to just remind us all that this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, And if we are going to participate in getting that information out, please let Deanna know and she will help us, you know, with their proclamation. So that would be good to do as a city. You know, we do that in October for domestic violence and we do a lot of other proclamations. So the sexual assault awareness is this month. And then they also talked about King County is looking at redistricting the council. So some cities may have two council members from King County. So they're saying, you know, you may want to get your voice in to say, you know, you're for or against the redistricting. Give that feedback. I'm not sure if that would go to Dow or you can send it to Reagan Dunn, who's our representative for King County. Candace Bach, who is AWC's, she goes to all the meetings, legislative meetings at Olympia. She talked about the police reform bills, which is 1054 and 1310. They are still a little bit tied up. They're more tied up more on the tear gas. So they're still discussing that issues. The Boise decision, Boise, Idaho decision, they're looking at codifying, and that's Bill 1576 on the homeless on city properties. I kind of remember a little bit about Boise a few years ago when I went to one of the AWC meetings, and I think that it was, you know, that they're considered... that's their home, that's their property, you know, their stuff. So you can't just go in and remove and throw their stuff away and tell them to get out of here. You have to have a plan to say for them to go to. There has to be a solution and not just for the city to just kick them out and say, sorry, we took all your stuff, we threw it away and you need to move on. So if I'm right, that is the Boise that went to court for a gentleman who did have that happen and he took him to court. And then the transportation package, she said, is just messy. It's just too complicated and too crazy to go into, but she did say it was messy. They have 9 days left to get that figured out and they haven't done it. Sewer rates, King County, of course, is looking at sewer rate hikes. A 10%, they're looking at either skipping, you know, this year and not doing it. So gradual rates or defer until 2023. The PIC members thought it would be better for gradual rates. It would be hard on residents to all of a sudden get this big chunk in 2023 to have to pay. So why not gradually increase it, not just have this huge amount? So they talked about that. And then the other issue that they did not take a stance on, but King County, unincorporated King County, so the King County Council is looking at a fireworks ban. They are going to be voting on that, I believe, on April 27th. There was a lot of discussion on this issue. You know, of course, you know, Black Diamond does not have a band. Maple Valley does. Enumclaw does not. Enumclaw was concerned if King County did do a band in unincorporated, then that would bring all the residents from unincorporated into Enumclaw to light off their fireworks. So they were concerned about that. I did not say I was concerned about that. But I did, you know, just mention, you know, that we have had this discussion and it was enforcement issue was the big thing. Cities that are all around us said, yes, enforcement is a big issue, you know, because you obviously can't have, you know, police officers at every corner of your city. And one person said that in their city, they have it where if you are lighting, if fireworks are being lit off in your yard at your home, then the homeowner is fined. It doesn't matter who lit it off. It's the homeowner that's fined. Some cities go for $1,000. Others are $5,000. So they were finding that a $200 fine was no big deal. So they upped it. And quite a few council members, mayors were talking about PTSD, about combat PTSD for their residents. And then the biggest one was also about fires. Enumclaw or Maple Valley had a 4-acre fire, and that is why they banned fireworks. Burien White Center area there, they last year had a firework that went off, landed on a gentleman's home, a 70-year-old gentleman's home while he was sleeping, and that killed him. So they banned fireworks. The biggest issue that they were talking about, King County was an unincorporated to ban them, as well as that homes are now being built super close. You've got drier land, you've got the issues with, you know, your areas just drying out, and your fire departments being so busy. One of the things that they did say is that in their cities, their fire department isn't as busy. So Chief Smith, maybe you can chime in on this, but they're not as busy where cities have banned it, and their fire departments are then backing up other cities that have not banned it. So they're helping them. So they did see a reduction, and you know, you've got your people who follow the rules, and you got your people who don't. So majority follow. So it was a kind of a heated discussion, you know. So it's just something to keep in mind again, if we ever want to go that route of talking about that again. I attended my PIC meeting and the community development meeting. And I think that is it that I have to report.
So do we have an attorney report?
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Okay. There's, we're not having an executive session, so.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed. Meeting adjourned.
You guys later.